So number seven, we're talking about ways we can be a better preacher. Wayne asked me to mention just briefly about our seminars. A few years ago, when my father passed away, my brother and I got together and we said, how can we try to honor the life of our dad? And what we thought was, I don't know how long God is going to let me live, but for the rest of my life, I'm committed to encouraging preachers, in helping preachers, and particularly young preachers. And so we started this Jenkins Institute to honor our dad. And one of my elders asked me recently, how's that going? And I said, it's going great. He said, are y'all making any money? And I said, are you kidding, right? You gotta be kidding. This is a non-profit organization, not for profit. We're losing money, but we're loving what we're getting to do. And so we provide conferences. We're doing eldership conferences now. We just finished one in Kentucky for a church in Glasgow, Kentucky. We're doing some seminars for preachers who've been preaching 10 years or less. We just finished one in Oklahoma. We're doing better conferences that deal only with preaching, the task of preaching. In every lesson, we talk about just preaching. We're doing now adding this year a couple of ministry conferences that we're trying to kind of branch out, not just preaching, but ministry itself, and we want to keep those two separate to some degree. The next conference is in September in Dixon, Tennessee, on the campus of Freed Hardeman University. In October, there will be a conference in Lewisville, Texas. If you're in Texas, we'd love for you to come. TheJenkinsInstitute@gmail.com is my email address. If you send me an email, I will get you information about that conference. And
can you say that email again?
TheJenkinsInstitute@gmail.com. And also, we're doing a Preaching a Better Conference in South Africa this fall. I'm going over for the South African Bible College lectureship to speak, and then we're going down, Dale and I will go down to the coast and do a seminar for the preachers there. So our goal is to help preachers and encourage preachers, and we want you to know that, I want you to know that I love preachers, and I love you for what you're doing for the kingdom of God, and I know it's not always easy, and may God bless you. Number seven. Plan your preaching. If you want to be a better preacher, you need to plan your preaching. And when I talk about planning your preaching, I'm not talking about Saturday night at 7 o'clock. If you're deciding what you need to preach on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock Saturday night, I hope you've got a really, really good excuse for that. Because if you plan to do that, there are going to be times that you're going to be in trouble. You know, one fella, he said, I don't plan my preaching. And he said, why not? And he said, what would you do between that first and third verse of the song right before you get up to preach? And I think some people really kind of do that. I encourage you to plan your preaching far in advance if possible. I would encourage you, if you've never done this, to consider planning your preaching a year in advance. Every year in October for the past 25 years, I've met with the leaders of the church, the elders and any other ministers, to plan a church calendar for the coming year. And then in December, the first week of December, on 2 days, on Monday and Tuesday, I leave town, get away from the phone, get away from the office, go to a place, a cabin, where there is no television, get away from all of that, and zero in for two solid days. And by the time I'm through, I can tell you every sermon I'm going to preach in the coming year. And we've been doing that for 25 years, and it has worked well. Somebody said, you have to stay. Are you tethered to the schedule? And the answer is no. I give a copy of it to my elders. They know what I'm going to preach a year in advance. I tell young preachers, one of the most important things I can tell you about preaching is don't surprise your elders. Okay, don't surprise them. There's a lot of things that elders don't like sometimes, but what they don't like most is surprises from their preacher, right? So don't do that. So plan your preaching. Why should you do that? I wrote down two or three things. Number one, because of balance. In Acts 20, verse 7, Paul told those elders of the Ephesian church on the island of Miletus that I did not shrink back from declaring unto you the entire or the whole counsel of God, right? So if you plan ahead, it will help promote the proper balance. Again, Brother Winkler used to give us this sheet of paper that had 50 different topics on there. And he said at the end of every year, he would go back and mark off how many times he had preached on each topic. And so you talk about New Testament and Old Testament, practical and theological, doctrine and devotion, Jesus and Paul. You need to be balanced in your preaching, and this will help. Number two, I believe that planned preaching brings greater depth to our preaching. And deep preaching comes out of advanced study and preparation. It gives us time to gather scripture, to look at surveys, to have illustrations. And so I can tell you in December, every sermon I'm going to preach the next year, and I've got files for every one of those sermons on my computer and all of those series. And when I read an article, maybe something like what Tyler mentioned today, if I know I'm going to do something on the family, and I see that I know I've got this series coming up. So I preach a series of sermons on the family every year between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Start on Mother's Day, end it on Father's Day. I do that every year. I've done that for 30 years, I believe it is, and that's a lot of sermons on family. But, you know, people love to hear about the family, don't they? Because their families are hurting. And so we ought to talk about it. So it provides for greater depth. Number three, I believe that planned preaching lowers your stress level. I believe it'll lower your stress level. Anybody here have any stress in your life right now? All right, so we all do, right? We're all busy. We've got family situations. We've got work situations. We've got general life situations. We've got church situations. And so if I know in advance what I'm going to be preaching, and I don't have to worry every Monday about coming up with, you know, somebody said the hardest part of putting together a sermon is coming up with a topic, right? Coming up with a title. And so if I've already got that, and I don't know if you preach in series or not, but I encourage you to do that because that'll help take away, again, some of the stress. And then the next thing is planned preaching saves time. Again, I believe that if you plan in advance, planned preaching helps the church calendar. We take the events that the church is going to have, and sometimes this year our elders have provided a theme for us for the entire church. And so every month, the elder of the month prays on the first Sunday of the month about that particular theme, and I will preach about that theme just that Sunday. And then I think important is that planned preaching emphasizes the importance of preaching. Let me ask you, as a preacher of the gospel, how much importance do you place on the preaching of the Word of God? How important is preaching to you? If you want preaching to be important to your brethren, to your leaders, then it will need to be important to you. And so if you plan in advance, every year I bring this list to my elders, and it's around Christmas time, and they're like kids at Christmas time. Their eyes light up. It's like, we're so glad that you know, we're not going to have any surprises, that you know what you're going to do, and we know where you're going. And I think that planned preaching will help in that way as well. So, number seven, planned preaching. Number eight, if you want to be better at your preaching, you need to have some trusted advisors in your life. Some trusted advisors. When you're preaching on a difficult topic, you've maybe been assigned a text, maybe for a lecture program, or maybe your elders have asked you to preach about a specific text. Don't dive into that and prepare that message and put it all together by yourself. Have some people in your life that you can contact, and you can say, you know, am I going down? Am I in the right? Am I in the ballpark with this? Am I headed down the right path? I don't care how long you've been preaching or how good you think you are. It's dangerous to live on an island by yourself. It's dangerous not to have some people you trust. I'm not saying you call everybody, but have some trusted advisors. 3 years ago, I was asked to speak at Fried Hardeman at the lectureship, and they gave me two topics. They gave me actually three, but they gave me two specialized topics. And they were studying the book of 1 John, and my topic, the first topic they assigned me was, who is the Antichrist in 1 John? And the second topic was, what is the anointing in 1 John? And when I got that, I thought, they sent this to the wrong person. They should have sent it to somebody else. But I went through and studied that and studied that. Then I picked up the phone and I called Brother Jay and I said, Brother Jay, I just need you to sit down with me and make sure I'm not way off on this. And then I called Dan Winkler. I said, Dan, help me out with this. And then I stood up and I said, who is the Antichrist in 1 John? After much study and consulting other people, my conviction is that the Antichrist in 1 John is the Fried Hardeman Lectureship Committee.
Well,
Mike, they didn't invite me back, so, but that's okay, right? So look, I believe every preacher, there are three men that every preacher needs in their life. I hope you'll write this down. Three types of men. Number one, everybody needs a Paul in your life. You know, Paul is that sentiquential kind of man, the man who has been around the world, that man who has written book after book after book, that man who has preached in all of the great cities, that man who has done it all, yet he hasn't become big-headed. He doesn't think he's arrived. He's not the kind of man who tells you how great he is. You need somebody like that, somebody who you can go to, who can give you wisdom, can share with you the wisdom from their life. And some of you guys who are older, may I challenge you today to try to become that kind of person? And you young guys who are just starting preaching or maybe in school, I want to encourage you to find somebody that you respect because, number one, they love God. And number two, they love the Word of God. And number three, they love the people of God. And if you do that, that'll help you in your life. Now, let me tell you why it's important for you to go to them, Joshua. Because chances are, these older guys who are what they should be, they're not going to come to you and say, Joshua, let me tell you how to do this. They're not, right? Because they're not the big-headed, arrogant kind of guys. They're going to wait for you to come to them. And so you're going to have to go find them. You need a Paul in your life. Number two, you need a Barnabas in your life. You know, Barnabas was about the same life stage, right? And so you know what Barnabas was, the son of encouragement. And every time you read about Barnabas, what is he doing? He's introducing somebody to somebody else. And Barnabas is that guy that he knows what you're going through in your life. He's been there with you. He's been a good friend through the years. And he'll shoot straight with you. He's not impressed by you, but he loves you. And he'll be honest with you, and he'll tell you. And so I've got some friends like that, and one of them may call me one day, and they may say, Jeff, we've been talking about you, and what we've noticed is that you haven't been paying as much attention to your wife as you should. And we want to sit down and visit with you about that. And she knows that, and we know that, and the Lord knows that, and the whole church knows that. It's about time you know that, right? Right? So you need a Barnabas in your life, guys, because you need somebody who will shoot straight with you, who is not impressed by you, but who loves you deeply. And then number three, everybody needs some Timothys in your life. You need some people who are younger than you, who you can instill what you've learned about teaching and preaching into their life. Listen, you guys who are older, you've been there, right? You know what it's like to have that first job and to deal with people who want to tell you everything that you do wrong and who want to train you and who want to be, you know, in their mind, they're thinking they want to be mentors, but they're kind of more like naggers, right? They nag all the time. And they always complain. You've been there. May I encourage you to go find that young man in your community who is preaching the gospel and take him to lunch or take him and buy coffee and sit down with him and say, how is it going? Is there anything I can help you with? And let me tell you what you ought to ask the other preacher. Do you love what you're doing? You know, I want to help you learn to love what you're doing, because there are going to be days that are going to be tough. There are times that you're going to be all alone and you need somebody who can be there for you. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to be that kind of man. So have some trusted advisors in your life. Number eight, as you think about your sermon for this Sunday, I imagine that across this region and across this land, there will be more than one sermon preached on the book of Colossians this Sunday, right? Because the reason you came here is because you heard Eddie Parrish was going to be preaching on Colossians, and you thought, well, I'll have at least one sermon when I leave. And so if you do that, that's great. But here's the thought. When you're preparing for your sermon on Sunday, ask yourself, what questions would I have about this text if I were listening to this sermon? What questions would I have about this text? When you study the scriptures and prepare for preaching and teaching, you need to ask yourself, what questions come to mind when I read this? What are the thoughts that I can help people with? Look, preaching must be biblical, but preaching that is not practical is not going to help a lot of people. And so how does this help people who are struggling in their life? How does this help people who are struggling in their marriage? How does this help the guy who is struggling with pornography every day of his life? How does this help the man who is a workaholic and doesn't have time for his family? How does this help the woman who feels like she's all alone and she has no support from her husband? Ask yourself, what questions would I have if I were listening to this sermon? Number 10. If you want to be a better preacher, be passionate about your ministry. Be passionate about your ministry. Now listen, you can't really separate preaching from ministry. If you read the text that we started out with in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul begins that text by saying what? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Well, what does that mean? Well, I grew up in Alabama, and in Alabama football was big all my life. And in Alabama, there are really only two times of year. It's when football is going on and when it's not going on, right? And so Brother Keeble used to say, that verse means preach it when it's popular and preach it when it ain't. You preach the word be instant in season and out of season. But he ended this text, this particular section of the text, by saying what? Fulfill your ministry. Now, sometimes I see preachers who get this idea that all ministry is standing up and giving a talk or a lesson to people. And I'm not going to get involved in people's lives. And I'm not going, you ever heard a preacher say, I don't visit hospitals? Shame on you if you've ever said that. Amen. Because look, and you don't have to visit hospitals because you're a preacher, but you better visit them because you're a Christian.
Amen.
And you better not use an excuse and say, I heard a preacher stand up before a group of preachers one time at a preaching conference, and he was waxing on about just being a preacher, and he said, I don't do funerals. I don't do funerals. And I thought, I know one he'll do. Right? All right. So look. Fulfill your ministry. It means that word fulfill your, it means fill it full. It means pack it full, brother. It means you stay busy about the kingdom work, and you will be a better preacher, whether you are technically a better preacher or not, by being involved in the lives of people. One of the greatest preachers I've ever known was an old country boy up in Coleman County, Alabama, by the name of Luther Williams. My guess is there's not a person in this room who's ever heard of Luke Williams. He had a sixth grade education, but he was a preacher. He taught himself. And Luke Williams, in this community, everybody knew who Luke Williams was. And he visited everybody in the church. And he never missed a hospital visit. And he never missed a funeral. And he never missed a wedding. And he never missed a high school graduation. And Luke Williams, in some ways you would say he wasn't much of a preacher. But you ask those people in that little community, and they'll tell you that Luke Williams was the best preacher they ever had, because he knew that they loved him. You see, it's true that people really, really won't ever know, ever care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's right.
And so get involved in the lives of people. Now, that's where some balance has to come in, because if you're not careful, you'll wear yourself out, you know. I mean, how am I going to do this? How am I going to plan four sermons a week if you teach a couple of Bible classes, or if you do TV work, or if you do ladies' classes, five or six sermons a week? How in the world? I mean, I was taught when I started preaching, you ought to put 20 hours into every sermon. And I thought, okay, let's see, I'm teaching a ladies' Bible class Sunday night, Wednesday night, five daily radio programs Sunday morning, and I thought, there's not that many hours in a week. But thankfully, there was this little paper. I was 21 years old, and there was this little paper called Gospel Minutes. And every week, every time Gospel Minutes came out, Johnny Ramsey had an article in there. And I would take that article, and I would preach every day on the radio based on that article. His points were enough that you could preach every time. But here's the idea. You have to learn yourself. You have to know yourself. You have to be able to balance out. But get involved in the lives of the people, and they'll think that you're the greatest preacher the Lord has ever made. And they'll love you. And you can be the greatest orator in the world, and you don't care about them, and you leave, and they'll say, Jeff who? But you love them, and you minister to their lives, and you care about them, and you can slip up every once in a while, and you might not knock it out of the park every Sunday. One Sunday, you might get a single only because you beat out the throw. But you know what? They're not going to care about that, because they know that you've been in their lives that week. Now, this is not an excuse for not studying, and I'll get to that in just a moment. So fulfill your ministry. Be passionate. You know, ministry has a way of sucking the passion out of us if we're not careful. And there are aspects of ministry that all of us don't like. And I don't know what those aspects of ministry are that you don't like. I don't like to go to elders' meetings. Surely the devil dreamed that up to make preachers go to elders' meetings, right? If there are elders in here, I'm sorry. If there are my elders are here, I'm really sorry. All right, so, but you know what? You know what? Listen, I go to elders' meetings so that I can get to do what I want to do with all of my heart. Right? So there's some things you're not going to necessarily enjoy. But if you love teaching the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, you'll be able to get through that. All right, number 11. There is no substitute for study. There's no substitute for study. You know, I've just talked about ministry and trying to balance it all out. But if you don't study the Word of God, and I don't mean just for the sermon that you're preparing. If you don't study the Word of God, you will begin to die spiritually. And if you don't study the Word of God, the flock that you feed will also die spiritually. One of the problems is in the church in America is that there are many congregations who are starving to death, spiritually speaking.
That's right.
And the problem is they're being fed a steady diet of substitute. And there is no substitute for the Word of God. There's nothing that is life-giving and life-changing like the Word of God. What our people don't need when they come to church on Sunday is another commentary on the news. Man. I mean, don't you get sick of that already? Have you ever been more sick of a presidential election time in your life? Can that please get over quick? Man. I'm about to say, I don't care who we elect president, just get it over with so we can get on with the kingdom work. And well, I'm not even going to get on that topic. All right. So don't give people another commentary on the news. They don't need to know what Oprah has to say about it. Amen. They don't need to know what Brian has to say. They need to know what God has to say. Yeah. And people need more than anything else on Sunday is they need a word from God. And brothers, listen to this. God has commanded us and he has given us the opportunity to give those people a word from him. Yep. We get to do that. We get to teach the word of God to people who are starving spiritually, people who are dying. We are dying men who are preaching to dying men and women. And what a great blessing it is to get to preach the word of God every Sunday. Yep. So do that. Preach God's word. And to do that, you've got to get into the book. You can't do that by saying, well, I'll just get up a sermon this week. Get up a sermon. You better get into God's word and let God's word speak to you so that you can speak God's word to the people. There is no substitute for study. Number 12. I want to encourage you as you think about preaching this Sunday and in the coming weeks to spend some serious time in prayer. Spend some serious time in prayer. When I was a kid preacher, I heard a preacher say one time that every Saturday night, he would go down to the church building and he would sit in the pew where every member sat and he would pray for them by name. And I thought, that's a tremendous idea. So I moved to North Alabama, a little church called Midway. We had 68 people in that church. I went down on Saturday night. I took the picture directory. I knew where everybody sat and I prayed for those people by name. I encourage you to pray for the people to whom you'll be preaching this Sunday. I'm not saying you've got to call them all by name. But let me tell you who's going to be at church Sunday in Texas. Sitting in the far back corner on the left is a lady named Deborah. 2 years ago, she lost her 21-year-old son in a tragic car wreck. She regularly gets up and leaves during the singing because it hurts too much. She's still struggling with that, and I imagine she will for the rest of her life. I need to pray for her. Sitting about three rows in front of Deborah is another woman named Robin. She lost a daughter who took her own life. She got another daughter who has left the faith. She's got a son who is struggling. But she's there. I need to pray for her. Sitting down here on the front is a young man named Michael, whose wife left him recently. He never misses a service. He says to me, Jeff, whenever I come and we study the Word of God, it makes me feel strong enough to get through the week. I need to pray for him. Brothers, pray for the people to whom you're preaching. Pray for them by name. Pray for the ones who are struggling. Secondly, pray for yourself. Pray that God will help you get out of the way and let his word shine forth. Pray that you'll stand behind the cross of Jesus. Pray that you'll be God's mouthpiece. Don't you love the story of Micaiah? Yeah. Micaiah was that great prophet who said, What the Lord says, that shall I speak. The what of divine revelation must be the that of human proclamation. Did you get that?
Yeah.
The what of divine revelation must be the that of human proclamation. What the Lord says, that will I speak. What if every preacher in the church across America made up their mind that we're going to be God's mouthpieces and we're only going to speak what God tells us to speak in His Word? Reckon that'd make a difference in society? Talk about changing the world. Pray for yourself that God will give you the strength and courage to speak boldly His Word, but at the same time to speak kindly His Word. Don't be a preacher who speaks with a heart of bitterness and anger. Pray that God will help drive that out of your heart, and that when you stand before people, that you will present the truth in love. So pray for yourself. Number three, pray that the Word of God will not return void. God has given us that promise. My word will not return void, but we need to pray that it won't return void in the hearts and the lives of the people. So pray that God's word will do what it is intended to do. Number four, I encourage you to pray for your elders. You may be at odds with them right now. You may not be sure if you've got a job very much longer, and you may be dreading the next elders meeting because you're not sure what's going to happen. But may I encourage you to pray for those men? They have burdens in their life too. They've got struggles in their marriage and with their children and in their families and in their own personal life. When was the last time you went up to one of your elders, maybe even one that has been unkind to you, and you stuck your hand out and you said, I want you to know I prayed for you this week? Give that a try. When he passes out, get somebody to help pick him up. Pray for your leaders. Number five, six, whatever, pray for the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ around the world. I don't have to tell you the church is struggling. We're dealing with people who want to change the church, who think that the church isn't relevant anymore, who think that we need to do things different than we've done before. And so let's just go ahead and just make wholesale changes in what we teach about salvation and what we teach about gender roles and what we teach about baptism. We need to pray for the church, brothers. And we don't need to pray for the church in a spiteful kind of way. We need to pray that leaders and preachers in the church will wake up and that God's word will go forth. I mentioned last night I was in Cuba last week. When I started preaching back in 1975, if anybody ever told me I'd got to go preach in Cuba, I told them they lost their mind. 250 plus Cuban preachers at this conference last week. 148 churches in Cuba. The church in Cuba is growing. I told some of those guys, if y'all keep going the direction you're going and we keep going the direction we're going, y'all going to be sending preachers to America to turn the church around. Pray for the church. Pray for our brethren around the world in difficult places. One more. Pray for your family. Pray for your family. Some of you guys need to go home, sit down with your wife and grab her hand and say, I'm sorry I haven't prayed with you in a long time. And I haven't prayed for you in a long time. Is there something I can pray for you about? If you haven't done that lately, let me encourage you to do that. Pray for your wife. You know, your wife is often lonely. And when people hurt you, it hurts her too. I don't know how your wife is, but there are people that can say whatever they want to about her, but if they talk about me, they better watch out. That red Irish hair of hers is going to come out strong. Now, when was the last time you prayed for your wife and you told her how much you cared for her and how grateful you were for her? Let's pray together. Father, we've talked today about about being better preachers. We don't want to be better preachers because of what it'll do for us. We don't want to be better preachers because it'll get us on some big program or put our name up in lights or we'll be recognized by people. Father, we want to be better preachers because we want to be your men. We don't want to be anybody else's man. We want to be your men. Father, my prayer today is for each of the men in this room who are preachers. Father, we're thankful for their hearts. We're thankful for their love for you and for their love for the church and for their desire to be your man and to proclaim your word. And Father, we realize there are probably men in this room right now who are struggling mightily. Maybe they don't know if they want to keep preaching. Maybe they're thinking about throwing in the towel. Maybe they're not sure about their relationship with their elders and leaders and even with their own family. Father, my prayer is that you'll bring them a measure of comfort, that you'll help them to be re-energized, that you'll help them to know that what they're doing is changing people's lives and that it's making a difference. Father, we need every man in this room. The church is struggling, and we need every person who's committed. We need every person to be on board. We need these young boys up here who are thinking about preaching. We need them to be preachers of your word. Father, we need one another. But most of all, we need you. My prayer is that you'll be with each one of us, that we will leave this place with a greater desire to be your man, with a greater desire to proclaim your word, with a greater desire to encourage and to minister to people, with a greater desire to encourage one another and to love each other. Father, help us when we are weak, and help us when we fail you. Forgive us. Help us to be stronger each day. Help us to go away from this place with hearts that are on fire, that nothing can keep us from doing your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.